Amen. So really, I wasn't going to share about this, but I totally think this is what we should talk about. And I get that, you know, some of you are stepping in kind of step one of broken free, and it is not a sequential thing. So let's just get that straight, man. Freedom. I was going to talk about once the Israelites were set free, okay? So they're set free. What's the first thing they do? They walk out the door, and the path is the shortest, straightest, and most direct. Do you remember what it says in Scripture? It says they didn't go that way, but they led them around by the sea, which is totally just a hairpin and not at all where you would go. If you're going from A to B, you would just go there. But the Lord led them around another way. And so I have to get through my own ADD-ism, because why did I even tell you that? Because first and foremost, something to get straight as you pursue the freedom that Christ has for you is it's not an A then plus B then plus C equals D. And so just do this first and do this next. So coming in, whether you've been a broken free forever, whether this is your first time at broken free, it's not, you're not like, oh man, what were the first six steps? It's not like that. What I believe, what the ministry God has placed on my heart through Broken Free is quite simple, that as we fix our eyes on Jesus, that we become like Him, that we're transformed into His image. So it's not a, hey man, let me help you find that father wound or that emotional wound or that abusive thing or that moment in your past that screwed and shaped your whole future. I don't believe that. I don't believe it's scriptural. Are there things in our past that absolutely skew how we see our present? No doubt. What you ate for dinner skews how you feel right now. What happened to you a week ago skews whether or not you're looking forward to your job next week with the new assignments and the new agenda, right? All of that is true. But we're not a product of our past, amen? Amen. All right? We are a product of greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. So let's start becoming the one that is inside of us. Maybe that's disappointing. Like, oh man, I thought Broke Free was going to give me these cool things that helped me quit the battle against pornography that I've been doing for 20 years. Yes, maybe, hopefully, prayerfully, but it's not because of this sequential thing. So I want to jump in into this, and you can tell from my notes, like if you just look at them, like this was just this kind of, this jumble that turned into a what? Oh yeah, Joe. Oh yeah, God was speaking to you about Joe, right? Yeah. I'm just bringing to you something that's a little bit fresh, a little bit raw, but I was sharing it the other day and feel like I'm supposed to share it today. You all right with that? So if you were at our, it's 10:03. Okay, so watch how fast I go, Nick. You ready for this? Thank you. You said grease my face. So if you were at our Broken Free weekend, and that happens in around every May, my friend Jamal was there, and he gave a message. It's online. I encourage you to read it. I don't know, or read it, to listen to it, on pride. And I've listened to it probably three times. It's still firing my bones and slap me upside the face every time. I mean, it was just, those of you, who was there? You were there. Who else was there? Were you just, it was just you. Oh my goodness. The best, I mean, what, I don't know if you remember that. That thing was like anointed with fire and some kudos. I mean, it was just rich and good. And like, I mean, I've read a lot on pride. I've read books on pride. And like, anyway, I encourage you to read it. I mean, listen to it. It's on Broken Free's website. Jamal Marshall. Yeah, it's something like the something of pride. I don't know the exact title that he had. But one of the things he said in there that stuck out with me is he said this. Pride will make a man stand and fight something he was always meant to flee. pride will make a man stand and fight something he was always meant to flee. And what he's speaking of is, in all of Scripture, there's only one thing we are called to fight. And I won't put you on the spot, but given that we're in a setting talking about sexual purity, you know, you might think, oh, what's the verse that talks about fighting lust or temptation or something? There's none. There's one fight we're called to fight. It's the good fight of faith. The only fight we're to have is a fight of faith, which is, means it's a struggle. It's a challenge to hold up faith. But there's something that all throughout Scripture we're called to flee, and that is sexual sin, sexual immorality. Pride will make you stand and try and fight sexual sin, lust, temptation, when all, every single Scripture, look, search it yourself, the Bible commands you to flee. That's pretty profound, right? Because I know I definitely spent a lot of time trying to stand and fight and then getting mad at God, saying, God, you said no temptation will seize me except for what's common to man, and when I'm tempted, you provide a way out. Right? That's Scripture. And I would holler that back at him when I would fall into temptation. And I kind of feel like he was probably up there saying, man, Justin, when are you going to actually read my word? I never told you to stand and fight that stuff. I told you to flee. I mean, I can remember sitting in my bedroom. I'm not going to go to any more websites. Or I'm not going to go to any more, right? You know what that feels like. And you're standing there and fighting instead of just get the junk out of Dodge. People have texted me before, hey, man, just pray for me, man. I'm just struggling right now. And I respond back to them, what are you doing? Oh, man, I'm just in my room, my apartments or whatever. My roommates are gone, whatever. And I'm like, okay, so why are you there? Go, run, leave. Go somewhere. I don't care if you don't have running. Go, run. Why? Because it's Scripture. That's not a good idea. It's scriptural. It's God's idea. Flee. So I want to share. Like, I get that. Again, maybe this is your first dunk in the tank of broken free, but so why flee sexual sin? If all Scripture says flee, 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 which it does, why? Why flee sexual sin? And I was praying one day. I wrote down these notes. I didn't mean to turn it into a message at all, but I'm going to give you seven things. So if you're writing them down, actually eight things. Good old three parts to a sermon. I don't have sermons of broken free, but listen. I'm just going to shoot stuff at you because, guys, listen, again, if this is the only time you drink from the purity hose or what does it mean to be holy or whatever, you're going to be real thirsty and whatever. This is just stuff for you to go back and chew on. You follow me? If you're not, you can watch YouTube all day long and find cool stuff, but I'm telling you stuff that I know with 20 years of addiction, confusion, and just enslavement looks like. And I know now, praise God, by the grace of God, what 10 years of freedom looks like. And so, why flee sexual sin? Man, if someone had told me this, I probably wouldn't have listened. I was that hard-hearted. That's actually the reality. But it would have been some stones I had in my pouch to fight. Number one, why does God command us to flee? Ready? Because fleeing leaves God to fight. Why are we commanded to flee? Because fleeing leaves God to fight. And you want a scripture reference for that? It's Exodus 14:14. Actually, there's a ton of them, but I'll read Exodus 14:14 for you. Verse 13, that's actually really funny. This is the first verse, because if you remember what I said we were going to talk about is them leaving Egypt. Verse 13, but Moses said to the people as they came and the Egyptians were closing in on them and they're surrounded in the Red Sea. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. By the way, welcome to Broken Free, reading scripture. Read it like it's said. Right? It says, do not fear, exclamation point. And Moses said it to the people. So if you're reading in your Bible in your quiet times, let's take out the word quiet times. Don't read this. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see. Do you get it?
Right, Will? That's not what it sounded like. Moses was talking to a whole nation of people. He was exclamation pointing. Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which will be accomplished for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. And the church said amen, right? That's a good word. When temptation comes and the enemy comes after you, the desire of the Lord and the promise of the Lord is they'll be gone and never see him forever. See, that was the other message. You ready for that one? That's coming soon. But verse 14, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. That's crazy. I'm going to jump another scripture. You want another scripture at you? Just write down 1 Samuel 17. Okay, I'm proving this. Why do you flee? Because it leaves God to fight. We learned from Moses, because God will fight for you. 1 Samuel 17. Do you know that David had no hope in himself? David was not going to fight Goliath because he's like, dude, I got this. Over and over, he told Saul, you know why I'm going to win? Because the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bother, he will deliver me. Verse 37, 1 Samuel 17, 37. First Samuel 17, 45. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Verse 46. Verse 47. This is done so that all assembly will know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Guys, when we stand and fight, it puts us in the fighting position. I ain't got jack on lust, temptation, or sexual immorality. Neither do you. It makes sense? It leaves God to fight. It's actually like a humility thing. You know what? I'm not even trying to fight you. See ya. And it really does leave the Lord. It's okay. Number two. Galatians 5:13. Why flee sexual sin? Number two. Because it puts you in a position to serve rather than to sin. It puts you in a position to serve rather than to sin. Galatians 5:13 says this. Flee sexual immorality, and through love serve one another. Galatians 5:13. Just have y'all want to look up some verses? Let's get some primed. Remind me your name one more time. Just Levi. Levi. Get to James 4:7. We'll go there in a second. Will, go to 1 Corinthians 13. No, that's not the right one. I think I had the wrong. You go to 2 Corinthians 11:30, Will. Andy, jump to 1 Corinthians 6:18. You can go to Proverbs 7:23. James, you want to go to Proverbs 7:13? And Mr. Jared, where do you want to go? How about Acts 3:19? All right.
Hopefully that didn't distract you. You ready?
What was number two?
Rather than sin.
So listen, so many times when sexual temptation, sexual immorality, whether it's, there's a lot of, so for clarity, whatever, sexual temptation can be when I'm just sitting here worshiping the Lord and a thought comes in. Or it could be when I'm sitting at home alone and thoughts start to come in. It could be when I go to the grocery store and things go by. It could be the Bible in James talks about when we're drawn away by our own desires. It talks about, well, obviously we're in the world, which is full of this sexual immorality, the Babylon of our culture. So temptation can come from a lot of ways. Immorality is like if I'm at the doorstep of, you know, as Proverbs talks about, you know, the adulteress or the prostitute and you're at the doorstep, or again, I don't know how you're all tempted, whether they're in a homosexual nature or a heterosexual nature. Immorality is this thing that we engage with other people, and the Bible is very clear that sin is different because it's against our own bodies. And, you know, I don't quite claim to understand all of that stuff, but there's just different dynamics there. So when I say it puts you in a position to serve, and you know, I'll just say it because Nick's here. I mean, I think I challenged Nick, and you know, tell me to think differently. But we used to challenge each other about this dishwashing challenge, about serving our wives through washing dishes. Or another challenge we had was when we wake up in the morning, before we leave our bed, we put our hands on our wives, or if they're going to punch you by waking them up, you just begin to declare what God says about your wife over them. So like, you are the most beautiful person I have ever laid my eyes on. My desire and my affections are for you. My eyes are for you. My heart is for you. Like, it's not faking something to make it. It's agreeing with what's truth and bringing truth into our marriage, into our marriage bed. Or serving our wives. I guess that's more of my 80. Serving our wives is like, I don't really want to wash the dishes after dinner. I'm tired or whatever. But my wife just made the whole dinner. So serving, or if you're in an apartment with other guys or whatever it is, serving others actually kills the flesh, because you're either self-serving or you're serving others. So by serving others, you are putting to death your flesh. The Bible says in Galatians, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your flesh. But one of the misdeeds of your flesh, it's not just masturbating or committing adultery. Misdeed of your flesh is being selfish. It's kind of like my kids. Like, no, this is my seat. This is where I'm sitting, and they don't move for anyone else. Like, this is what I'm doing. This is my schedule. No, that's selfish. So fleeing sexual morality, it's like, if I'm here self-serving, okay, I don't have to go into so much more detail, I'm not serving others. But if I flee from that, it puts me in a position to then serve others. Does that make sense? That's number two. Number three, James 4:7. You got it for me, Levi?
Yeah. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
What I heard from that, like as I was praying, why do we flee sexual sin? Because it turns our face towards God, or turns our gaze towards God. When we resist the devil, or we and submit to the Lord, draw near to the Lord, right? Any of y'all ride bikes? Like, just ride a bike straight up. No one rides a bike? You ride a bike? Just rarely? All right. You know when you're riding a bike, and you're riding this way, and you're like checking to see if there's a car, what do you do? Yeah! You turn your head, and you realize, oh, wait, I'm in the middle of the road. You follow me? Because where your eyes go, your everything else goes. Unless, real good bikers, right? They totally train them. I don't know, there's a way they peek behind them, or... But they also know how to like adjust, so they kind of stay straight. I mean, if you ever watch any bike race, they don't all go like looking back to who's coming and then crash into the next guy. They're very trained because they're very practiced on how to look around but yet stay going straight. That's not us, guys. We go where our eyes go. That's why if we gaze on him, we become like him, because that's where we go. So why flee sexual sin? Because it turns our gaze towards the Lord. We can't be engaged with the devil and engaged with the Lord. Resist the devil. Stand firm, therefore. Resist the devil. Submit yourself to God. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Like, if I'm looking at him and drawing near to him, I'm going to draw. He's going to draw near to me. So, turning away, I feel like oftentimes when it comes to issues of purity, we're so, like, sin-gazing. We're focused on this thing. Man, how do I stop doing this thing? This thing that's ruined my marriage, cost me jobs, waste my money, and makes me feel like poop. You're just sin-gazing. You get it? That's not John. John here, God says, okay, there's this thing, but you know what? That thing does not have mastery over me. I'm drawing near to God. I'm going to start gazing on him. Does that make sense? I wrote, like, stop sin-gazing, start God-gazing. So, why do we flee? Because if we just stand here in this moment, if we stay in this literal moment we're in, struggling with temptation or whatever, I believe we just start sin-gazing. Man, I'm not going to look at that thing, that computer right there. I'm not going to look at this phone. I'm not going to look at this phone, you know. Versus saying, no, just I'm going to flee. I'm going to get out of here. Okay. Does that make sense? Number four. Quite simply, why flee? Because it removes you from the opportunity. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to
mess around with my neighbor if I'm not in my neighbor's house. Pretty sure I'm not going to look at anything inappropriate on my laptop if I'm not in the room with my laptop. And I get it, man. I get it that when you're in that moment, the last thing you feel like doing is fleeing. Right? I get it. Because there's so much, you know, in the book Finally Free, it sort of talks about like when you find yourself in those moments, it's because you've already said yes to 50 things you shouldn't have said yes to. And you've put yourself right in a situation. But that's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. And so removing us, I mean, Joseph is the example there, right? Like Joseph wasn't going to have sex with Potiphar's wife if he wasn't in the same house as Potiphar's wife. So what happened when she came? When Potiphar's wife came, I'm out. Some of us need that level of commitment to just be out. We're like still shaking our finger at God. Why are you still keeping this? Why is this still struggle? And it's a temptation. We'll get into that later. But when you're struggling, when you start to struggle, that's when you run. That's when temptation gets, run. Get out of here. I think it's Finally Free that says, and I should double check this, but I think Finally Free, which is a great book, the number one book I would suggest you read on this topic, the first book you read is a book called Finally Free by Heath Lambert. But I believe what he says is lust needs three things to take form. He says it needs desire, but it needs opportunity and time. And basically he says, take away any one of those things and you don't have sexual sin. So if you have a feeling and you have opportunity, but there's no time to do anything with it, well, it's not going to materialize. Or if you have, you know, desire and time, but there's no opportunity, like, to do whatever you feel like, it's not going to happen. I think those are the three. It's a really interesting chapter in there, but my point is if you remove yourself from the opportunity, take that away. Number five, 2 Corinthians 11:30. Who had that? Go ahead. Yes. Why flee sexual sin? Because it admits the weakness of my strength. Number five, it admits the weakness of my strength. I have issues with books and authors that I read that compare sexual sin to David and Goliath. Because I don't believe you're supposed to fight against these things. You're supposed to flee. David fought Goliath. Admitting the weakness of your own strength, it's not a Goliath situation. I mean, David kind of said, look, dude, I've fought and killed lions and bears. I mean, I even know how to do it. I know how to grab them by the head. I know exactly where to hit them. That's literally what he said to Saul. He said, I know how to grab them by the beard and smote them in the head. Like, that's what he says. And he knew the source of his strength, but he knew how to like combat and fight this thing. So he was like, I can go take this thing out for the people. But that's not sexual sin. That's not apples to apples. Sexual sin, the reason why I'm going to flee is to admit the weakness of our own strength. Like, I'm going to boast in my weakness, man. No, I'm getting out of here. See ya. I'm not even staying around to try and fight this thing. No way. Like, that's the Lord's battle. I just think sometimes I put like sexual sin wasn't meant to be fought. It's meant to be replaced. It's crucified. It's the old self. It's a dead thing. Call it what it is. If you feel like it's actually having power to make sort of turmoil, no, actually that thing was, you were crucified with Christ. That old self, you're dead. So when you feel your old self, when you feel like that reality is coming back, No, here's the truth. Actually, you're dead, man. You're not even real. It's kind of like, isn't there like a Sixth Sense? It's like some movie back in the, I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't like referencing movies because I don't remember if they're good or not. But anyway, I think it's a movie about a kid who like sees dead people or something. But
So when you see your dead self, remind your dead self that it's dead. You follow me?
Number 6, 1 Corinthians 6:18.
Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body.
So why flee sexual sin? Because it's not apples to apples with fill in the blank. Lying, pride, covetousness, greed. Why flee sexual sin? Because it's not apples to apples. It's totally different. Sexual sin is against God's temple. That's 1 Corinthians 6:18. Don't mess around with it. And I'm sure there's some theological debate we can have another time about no sin's greater than another sin or whatever. But some consequences of sin are different than other consequences of sin. You sleep with someone and get AIDS or whatever, or hepatitis, or I don't know what all the different things are, but that's a lot different than I just told you a lie. I'm not going to get a disease you have from telling you a lie. And my entire... Guys, I don't know. I don't share this a lot, but I know what it's like to go to the clinic here in Lancaster and freaked out because I thought what I had was from an immoral relationship that I had prior to being with my wife. I know what it's like to be... Maybe you know what it's like. I just know what that's like. To be that scared of something you don't know where it came from or what it is. And the only thing I can tell, again, you can picture my young married life when all my wife knew was like, it's just pornography. It's just been between a computer screen. And I hadn't told her about all these other terrible things I had made. And then something's happening and I'm like, I don't know what that is. And the only thing I have to then confess is like, well, this stuff happened, which might have caused that, which might be that. So I need to, that's just terrifying. I'm just telling you, straight up it is. It's not fun. It's not cool. Have fun hiding stuff in the dark when that happens. Like, I feel like I'm shaking. Like, it's just not all right. Like, sexual sin is different than lying. And if you start to see it the way God sees it, you might start to treat it the way God calls you to treat it. That was love. That wasn't anger. I was just... Number 7. Who had Proverbs 7:13?
She threw her arms around him and kissed him, and with a brazen motion said, "You justified my peace offerings and fulfilled my vows."
So the context of that, if you've never read Proverbs 7, 5, 6, and 7, just read it. Read it every week. It'll just keep you sober and keep you scared, quite honestly. But number 7, why flee sexual sin? Because it's not passive, it's aggressive. Proverbs 7, she wraps her arms around you, she kisses you, she whatever. Like, sexual sin is not passive. I can tell you a sin, at least as the way I, like, greed to me is kind of passive. Like, I start hanging around people that are just all about their dollars and their salaries and their cars and their whatevers and their checks, then, like, I can slowly just become like, yeah, you know what, I probably do need a better car. My moped or my truck with a dent looks really bad parked next to these cool... Like, it's kind of passively... But, like, sexual sin, Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, read how the adulteress, read how the harlot spirit... So if you say, well, that's adultery, I'm not sleeping around with people. If you read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, just change your mind a little bit and say, but actually, that's also a spirit. There's a spirit of a harlot. There's a spirit of a prostituted spirit that's in our world that wraps her arms around you, grabs you, pulls you in to kiss you, and tells you all these lies. Like, it's aggressive. And anyone that's got some gray hair in our beards will tell you that. So if you're young enough to not have them, just ask. It doesn't stay where it's at. And lastly, on number 8, did someone do Proverbs 7:23? Did I give up? You got that, Ethan?
Yeah. So the arrow pierces its liver as a bird rushes into a snare.
Do you have the verse before that?
Just okay. All at once he follows her as an ox goes to slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast.
And then 23, one more time.
An arrow pierces his liver. As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know what it will cost him his life.
It'll cost you what?
Your life.
Your life. Number eight to me, why flee sexual sin? Because life is at stake. This is life or death. Again, I think if we see what he sees, we treat it as he calls us to treat it. If Andy, I know, has, I don't know, some trans world disease thing that's going to wipe out, and you're sitting there, you have it, and I know that it's death. If I get it, I'm not going near you. But if I think you just have a cold and just a little bit of antibiotics, a little bit of time, I'm probably still going to give you a high five. I'm going to notice you wiped nose. I'm not going to worry about it too much. That's what I think you have, I should say. If that's what I think you have, I've been in meetings, right? How many of you have been in business meetings and you hear the guy coughing and it's not like you're not going to shake their hand? I don't know if anyone's been in there, but I've been like in those things. I'm like, yeah, that's all right. I'm probably just remember to wash my hands before But if I believe what you have is going to kill me, you follow. Like, if we have a perspective of what it is we're dealing with, we play with it a lot differently. You can't play with mercury anymore in elementary school classrooms. Although, funny story, my wife in elementary school, she remembers taking out the little blob of mercury and playing with it in her hands. That's crazy. All right. The eight reasons to flee sexual sin. So you should be asking two things, and I'm going to give them to you. I'm aware of my time, Nick.
You did good. You got through the day.
Two things, though. You should be saying, okay, Justin, well, what does fleeing look like? Because you made it sound like you run outside in your boxers and your sandals and just start running.
Maybe.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. So I feel like there's two questions we should ask. So what does fleeing look like? And number two, I feel like what frustrates most men is, so what if I flee though and temptation's following me? Right?
One at a time, Justin. One at a time. All right.
B, so what does fleeing look like?
These are just two things that I have. It looks like running away from something and running to something. I personally think if it's one or the other, it just doesn't work quite as well. Even if it's running to. So let's say you're fleeing is running to the Lord. Like, okay, I'm just going to turn on my worship tunes and just worship. Or I'm going to go to a Saturday night service or whatever. That's okay. But I actually think you need to decidedly be also running away from, if that makes sense. I feel like, again, I just know because I've been there. I've been in places of worship where I never really renounced, rejected, or spoke death to, or denied, or said, this isn't me, no thanks, you follow me? And I try and go into a place of worship, and it's just all there. Because as J. Cale, Pastor Threshold often says, God doesn't deliver you from your friends. He delivers you from your enemies. I know, chew on it. He says, God doesn't promise to deliver you from your friends. He only promises to deliver you from your enemies. Meaning, I have to first draw a line and set enmity, is that the word? Between me and this sin, this temptation. That's not me. No, thank you. Go away. So I think away has a physical and a spiritual component. So running away, what does fleeing look like? Running away spiritually, it means causing a line, disagreeing with, stating that you are alive in Christ and dead to sin and to the old man. There's a spiritual component there, a declaration to make in spirit. But physically, Psalms 1:1. You all know this psalm, right? But it's just Psalms 1:1. I say it, I get them wrong and mixed up, which is the only reason why I'm looking it up. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, which he meditates day and night. Don't stand, don't sit, and don't walk in the way of the wicked, the way of the scoffers. Way. So I think fleeing physically looks like something. Don't sit there. Get out. Don't walk. No, Don't just walk by. Don't sit, don't stand. Wait, don't walk, don't sit, don't stand. So like, you know what he's saying? What's the only other option? Flee. It's kind of funny. So what does fleeing look like? Spiritually and physically. Fleeing away from. Does that make sense? Now running to, I believe there's this other thing. You can't, you'll get tired just running away, but you have to run to Acts 3:19. That was yours?
Oh, yeah.
You got that one? I mean, the one running to is one you had, you know, resist the devil, draw near to God. That's definitely a running to verse. I love Acts 3:19, though. First sermon post
Spirit.
Yeah.
Repent, therefore, and turn back, and your sins may be blotted out.
Yeah. Keep going. There's a little more to that, though.
Times of refreshing.
Thank you. Yes. So that's actually the part we often forget. So say it to me. Listen to this. Because we often hear the first part, but listen to the second part too. Read that one more time.
First part. Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, Jesus.
So what does it mean? Repent. And return to the Lord that times of refreshing may come from his presence. So often we just think of repent as like, turn away from him. Turn away from him. That's how we hear it. That's how we all, to turn away from him. That word right there, there's two words for repentance, by the way, in Scripture. But that word right there in Acts 3:19 is to turn towards. The word repent is to turn towards. So he's saying, turn towards the Lord that times of refreshing would come. Not just turn away from pornography and don't ever look at another. You get it? It's a totally different focus. Versus, actually, I'm going to times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. If all you do is just turn away, turn away, turn away, and never go to the refreshing spring of living water, you're still going to be a thirsty dude. Because this false thirst, this thing that's trying to quench a false thirst of an old man, It's like soda pop versus water. Like, does that help answer though? What does fleeing look like? The both and, to and from, spiritual, physical. Okay, number three, and lastly. A valid question, big question. So what if I flee and temptation follows? And honestly, I was like, you know, praying through, just writing down notes as whatever. And I'm like, oh man, that is a really good question, Lord. Like, what is the answer to that? You want to know my best answer? I believe Scripture supports that we don't stop and fight. We keep running. I don't have a pretty cookie cutter answer. What if I flee and temptation follows? Again, another time we'll talk about, I believe temptation is in the world. I believe temptation we are not ever free from. I do believe the struggle, it's over. There is no longer need for struggle. So, again, the more you get to know me or how I think or the way I understand this from the Lord is, you know, don't hear the wrong thing. But I'm fine with temptation following. Temptation don't got jack squat on me. Temptation doesn't make me fall into sin. You know, God's grace is there and he's my victory. So it's not a struggle. I mean, in a whatever, I'll just say something totally silly. So it's not conjuring up images. But if my temptation is to eat gummy worms and there's a big walking gummy worm and I really want to eat a gummy worm, but no, that gummy worm is not good for me. It's not healthy for me. And I'm called to not eat gummy worms. I'm going to flee, but if the gummy worm keeps following me and I'm a free man, the temptation to keep following me, I can see gummy worm all day, but I'm not the new man. I'm not struggling. I've already said no to gummy worms. I'm not eating gummy worms. I don't want gummy worms. They do nothing for me. There's no life in them. It's total death. You can follow me around all day. You want gummy worm? I'm not going to eat you. I'm not struggling to say no to you. I have no desire for you. I don't really care.
You get what I'm saying? I think when people say, well, I fled or I did my thing, temptation was still there. I think what they're actually, what's actually being exposed is really what you're, what people are probably saying is, you man, temptation was there, man, I fled. I literally ran in my sandals, whatever. And I still just struggling, thinking about this thing. I couldn't get this thing out of, that's different. Now you're saying something different. I was still thinking about this thing. I couldn't get this thing out of my head. Da, da, da. You know what that helps me see, and that should help you see, is there's still stuff in you that there's still stuff that needs to be put to death. And it's kind of, I'm kind of okay because you're fleeing and you're learning what it means to run as a new man. And there's still struggle. There's still attachment there. There's still maybe soul tie. There's still old man flesh stuff that needs to die that you need to put to death. Remember Galatians, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the flesh. So if you're still feeling that tug and that struggle and the attachment, it's kind of a good like pulse check to say, man, you know what? Maybe I need to bring into light that I still do desire this thing. Like there's part of my old man that just needs to die. And you know what? I have been desiring that, but God, in the name of Jesus, I'm just cutting this off because I'm not made to desire this anymore. So I'm not going to ignore something that's here. I'm going to actually acknowledge it, call it out to the light, say, you're not welcome. Thank you very much. Lord, purify my heart. Search me, O God. Cleanse me. You get it? Like, don't try and like holier than thou tiptoe out of a, if there's actually something there, call it out, acknowledge it, bring it to the light. So my answer is keep running, because the closer you get to Jesus, the further you get from the situation. It's that whole, you've also heard this, man. This is why Christianese blogs just drive me crazy sometimes. The whole, but there's no armor on your back. You shouldn't flee. You heard that, right? The whole armor of God, there's nothing on your back. Don't turn your back on the devil. What? Crazy. Absolutely flee. You're right. There's no armor on your back. And praise God. Why? Because Exodus 14:14. Because see the salvation of the Lord. He will stand and fight for you. You need to keep silent. 1 Samuel 17. Dude, the Lord's going to fight for me. I'm running. You get it? So much time in sexual temptation, we stand and fight and say, well, but there's no armor on my back. No. Just keep running. It's not your fight. It's not your battle. I'm not free from sexual struggle and sin because I figured out how to fight it. I fell in love with another man. I fell in love with something so much more powerful and more greater. And he's fighting for me, man. Do you get it? The last thing I'll just say, only because, you know, I wrote in my notes because I've just heard a lot. Some people will say, like, well, you told me to flee physically, Justin. I can't. I wrote down a bunch of stuff I've heard. I don't have a car. I'm grounded. I don't have money. I don't have anywhere to go. My answer is just, yes, you can. Because if it was sexual sin you were craving, you wouldn't have told me, I don't have a car. I'm grounded. I don't have money. I have nowhere to go. Right? So when it was sin you wanted, you had no problem finding it or getting it, and you never had an excuse. So if it's actually Jesus you love and are pursuing, stop throwing up excuses on why you can't get it when it's worth way more than the sin. Amen? All right. So, I don't know. Was that life-giving? Was that hopeful? Was that, I mean, it was a total shift of gears, but why flee sexual sin? I mean, so Lord, I'm just praying that, Lord, you would open our eyes to see what you see so that we would respond how you call us to respond. I pray for every man here, God. Yeah, I know we're not even promised tomorrow, Lord. So whether I see him again or not, God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would just continue to stir up a desire in their heart, God, to see you for who you are and then see their life through your eyes. In the seasons, God, some of those seasons of seeing our life as you see it will be a season of, man, you're not all that, Justin. You're not. You have so much to go. There's so much for me to burn off. There's so much work for me to do. And I'm okay with that, Lord, because if you expose that, your grace is sufficient. Your power is made perfect in my weakness. As we said, therefore, I will boast in my weakness, God. The power of God may rest in me. Amen. And God, if seeing my life through your eyes is saying, you know what? No, Justin, you are a son and you are not a product of your past. You are who I say you are. right? You're defined by all my promise. And if that's the season you have me in, so I can begin to walk in newness of life and understand the calling for which I've been set free, and then amen, God, I'll take it. But God, I don't want a pity patter. You know, I don't want the simple step. I don't want the, hey, I just got out of Egypt. Let me just go straight for the docks on the Red Sea. If that's not the route, God, I don't want to go that route. I want to follow in step with you and not compare it to the person next to me. God, I'm asking for grace on these men's lives, that they would stop comparing and they would start gazing on you and just saying, yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, I bless them. In Jesus' name, thank you for the freedom, God, that you have for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.